bring you Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
Our topic today, friends. One of the strongest influences that a young person has in his life is his friends. Whether he realizes it or not, his friends exert a significant pull upon him in a number of different ways. They help to shape his attitudes toward people and activities. They persuade him to adopt habits and practices in different areas of life. They mold his opinions about events and people. They control the use of his free time. On and on, the influence of friends goes. This can be good, a wholesome thing, if your friends are the right kinds of friends. But it can also be harmful if you have the wrong kind of friends. The book of Proverbs takes a great deal of time to point this out. In several passages, Solomon gives a stern warning against evil companions, warning his son to avoid those people who would turn him against good and godliness. In three passages, Solomon describes the nature of these evil men. From the strong language that he uses, it's clear that he sees them as having a criminal bent to them, a perverted streak of wickedness that controls their actions. For instance, in Proverbs 1, verses 10 to 14, he warns, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall all find precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse." In Proverbs 2, verses 12 to 15, and in Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 17, Solomon uses similar language to describe the nature of these evil men. I know that your first reaction will be to say, "My friends aren't that bad. They don't murder or steal. They don't attack innocent people. And besides, even if they did, I wouldn't do that." It's true that the biblical description is strong. Let me point out that there are two suggestions for this. It may be that these descriptions point out God's view of the evil man. It may be that he's outwardly a pretty nice person, but God sees under the smooth and enticing external view of that man, he sees a corrupt and perverted nature, and by describing him in strong terms, the Lord attempts to get your attention as to the real nature of wicked friends. A second possibility is that these passages should be taken literally. In this case, Solomon warns you against substituting illegal and immoral actions for godly ways as a way of gaining material wealth and influence for yourself. In other words, the end does not justify the means. With either view, the conclusion remains that God warns us against making friends with evil men. No matter how charming they may be, no matter how much prestige we get by being in their company, we should avoid them. Their ways are not God's ways. It may be that I'm talking with some young people today whose friends are not godly. You've been running with the devil's crowd, and you know it. I urge you to listen to Solomon's warnings to avoid these people as your close friends. Recognize them for what they are, the enemies of God and of godliness. And because of this, you need to avoid them before they turn you against the things of the Lord. Remember, no matter what you may think about your ability to stand for righteousness, God says, separate from these people. He doesn't want you to have to fight against their influence. He wants you to avoid their influence. Only in this way can you please Him.
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Steveson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.